Good afternoon.
Hallelujah.
We are in the very last section of the second verse. Yay. It won't take as long this time because it's a little bit easier and simpler to go through, so I won't be taking up too much of your time today. But we're going to go through some Hebrew words again. Every now and then I'm going to be using Hebrew words to learn to, when I start saying them, you'll learn. I come the word to earth. I'm going to start using what word?
Eretz.
Ha-eretz, if it's the specific thing, or eretz, if it's just the land. Okay. Verse 2, no one says there, Baha-eretz, ta-ha-ya, tohu va-vohu. Remember those are? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Second part. Vachoshech al panei tohom. Remember what that was? Tohom, depths. Okay, means the depths, deep, pretty deep. Okay. The latter part here is okay. Varuach Elohim meorachecha al panei. Ha-mayim. Now, the very first word we're going to be looking at today is going to be Ruach. Now, we know what that means, right? Okay, it has a lot of different meanings. We're going to go through this particular word today because it's not nailed down to one meaning. There are times when we look at it, and we're going to start to look at it and find out what it really refers to. Ruach is something that is meaning nothing more, and a basic root form means to blow or to breathe or to smell. See, when God wants this sweet aroma coming up, He wants to smell it. He wants to ruach. That's what He does. But don't get it confused with the other Hebrew word, which we haven't run into, but I've said before, it's nephesh. That's a different word altogether. We're talking about now just what's called ruach, the spirit. Spirit of Elohim. We already know what Elohim is. But we're going to go through this one here. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 37 and 38, it's about that perfume. Remember the perfume that's specially made for only the high priest? Exodus 30, verse 37 and 38. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the eternal. Whosoever shall make the like unto it to ruach unto it shall even be cut off from his people. What does some of your translation have there?
Smell.
Smell?
Oh, there.
So what's that?
Mine says to smell.
To smell. Do you understand how the ruach there, it has to do with something that's constantly moving back and forth. Your own air, you breathe in and breathe out. It's in a sense, you're getting air going in, you're going air going out. It's also can be translated as wind or something of that nature. But right now it's kind of interesting knowing that with ruach in the sense of a smell. Because it's kind of fascinating now. Well, we'll get back to verse 2 here about God's, the ruach of God, or ruach of Elohim, moving upon the face of the waters. But right now I just want to get a picture, a bigger meaning of what this thing refers to. Leviticus 26, verse 31. This is God speaking. Now listen. He says now, Leviticus 26, 31, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not ruach the flavor of your sweet aroma. Ruach. Haruach. Ruach. So it has a good association when we're looking at this thing. Spirit has more than just thinking that you can't, it's invisible. It also has something to do with your nose. You're breathing in and breathing out. It's kind of fascinating to know that when you look at the thing, you say, okay, God's breathing, doesn't he? Does God breathe? Well, he says, you know, I don't want to breathe that stuff. I don't want to smell that stuff. And so you get an impression that maybe God has a nose. What he takes in, of course, is not the atmosphere here. But, you know, he does take in the aroma. Because why? He created this atmosphere. He created this world. He created it for what? Do you think God likes the ruach of roses?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does. He created them. So get this in mind when you're thinking of the ruach. Yes.
That has everything to do with sacrifices as well.
Nothing, it has to do with sacrifice. The sweet aroma that comes up from there. Yes.
It also has to do with emotion.
Yes.
Because he says there are times that we are a stench in his nostrils.
Yes, that's a real strong one.
He's not talking about smell.
No, no. Well, that's true. We won't cover that today, but that is true. That's just what, there are things that we, human beings, cram into God's nose. And he really does not like it. I think it's in Isaiah. I'm not quite sure. But well, I'll tell you bluntly. Has to do the steeples. You know, churches have steeples, the pointed ones. God says, you're cramming that right up my nose. I don't like it. Get rid of it. You know, yes?
You think about, like, when real estate agents talk about if you want to show off your house, to sell your house, one of the things they recommend is to try to make your house smell like cinnamon or vanilla, like cookies baking.
Yeah, yeah.
To invoke emotion, the warm, fuzzy emotion. And when God gave them the recipe for these perfumes and the tabernacle and some of these other kind of things, he's doing the same thing. Or like in Passover when we make paraset. We only make it at that time of year for that reason, you know, to invoke those memories. Or like, Shavuot, you know, there's supposed to be the thing with the cheesecake or whatever. It's to invoke those memories and those emotions and that, to make each one of those unique by the smells of the foods.
Keep in mind, as we're looking through this word of ruach, because it's more than just what you think. It's bigger in its field other than by itself, other than just saying the Spirit of God. There is something there that tells you, identifies, and it helps you identify God. You understand what I'm saying? Elohim begins to become clarified, and it's a definition of him and who he is and how he acts, how he thinks, and everything else. But now we have, the only thing we see here right now is this ruach that's now moving upon the face of the earth. We'll get to there in a minute. I want to go to Amos. We already talked about this one. A little different one here. But Amos 5:21. I hate and despise your feast days, and I will not ruach in your solemn assemblies. I'm not going to breathe there. I'm not going to smell there. I'm not going to have a wonderful time there. And in fact, it doesn't. It's kind of like Eli said, it stinks. So I don't want to show up. Remember, Amos has to do with not the holy days of God, but the holy days of the house of Israel who had moved them. Remember? House of Israel moved them. We talked about that before, I think 2 weeks ago or something like that. I can't remember. Now, this is another interesting place about where this ruach is. Remember, trying to understand the meaning of the word by going through different locations within the Tanakh. So we have a little overall picture of God, right? All right? And 1 Samuel, verse 26. I'm sorry, chapter 26, verse 19. Put that way. 1 Samuel, chapter 26, verse 19. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy Lord, the king, near the words of his servant, for Elohim, of Yahweh, has stirred thee up against me, and let him ruach an offering. And that's what it says, accepted there?
Yeah.
Ruach an offering. So it kind of lets you know that an offering that God wants, he wants it to have, this particular one has to do with an offering that is like a whole offering, sending it up unto God so God has a sweet aroma. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of cool way to look at that thing. So when the aroma comes up, the Apostle Paul talked about do that which is acceptable in the will of God. What he wants. So in our lives, personal and private lives, it should be a sweet aroma that he gets to smell. All right? Smell us. Accept us. Wanting us to be within his world. And I got one more place. We'll go to Isaiah chapter 11. This is about the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, starting verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of... Remember what that word is?
Hachman.
That's right. Spirit of Hachman and...
Vina.
Vina. Good. In this case, it's Vavina because it has the word in it. That's good. You're remembering those things, right? Okay. Okay, where was that now? Okay, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge. This is a ruach of knowledge and of fear, and it shall and shall make him a quick ruach in the fear of the Lord. Well, that's an interesting word. Here he might have the word that says what? Well, it says understanding, right? What is the other translation you have? Anybody else has any other translation for that word? Verse in 1, 2, 3. Third verse. And shall make him a quick...
Inspired.
Inspired? Okay.
Inspired.
But the word is ruach, ruach in this particular case. So that tells you something about the ruach of God. Hers. It's inspiring. Here, somebody translates it, it's understanding. Remember, we're supposed to get... Well, this is not the right word for understanding here. But say it's translated as understanding. And it's not for the word for understanding. But it tells you a little bit about the Spirit of God. Where does all of our understanding come from? It comes from the Ruach. Right? Now, we have the book of John. Won't go there today. But the Messiah talked about the Spirit that will give you what? Give you all wisdom, all knowledge, all answers. So this is the Spirit of God that does all these things. So it's greater than what we just think of it as. Let's talk about the Spirit of God. It's a whole lot greater and bigger. But we're just getting a definition of the word Ruach. All right? It's kind of interesting to look at these things. Yes?
Light says delight.
Delight. Oh, that's good. That's good. It's delight. Ruach of the Lord. Delight. They do have those meanings. It can mean heaven, it can mean quarter, it can be breathing, it can be air, it can be even vanity and empty things, because that has to do with nothing sometimes. But that's in a negative situation with people doing something. All right. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. This is very simple. We'll get back to Genesis chapter 1 in a minute. And the Lord said, or Yahweh said, my Ruach shall not always strive with man, for what he is also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. Now, we're talking about now, Yahweh has a what? A Ruach. Oh, what does that mean? There are the places he says. We will go there. Chapter 41, Genesis 41, verse 8. And it came to pass the morning that his Ruach was troubled, and he sat and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dreams. Oh, that's interesting. Did you notice that? Did you realize that Pharaoh had a Ruach? Do you know that you have one? It's not the Ruach of Elohim. It's your Ruach. Your spirit. The Apostle Paul says very clearly, if the Spirit, I think it's in Romans, when the spirit of Elohim connects with the spirit, our spirit, it helps our spirit to become stronger. Actually, God has created human beings with the spirit. Did you ever think you had a spirit? Not talk about spirit of Elohim. Talk about yours. Well, the Word of God talks quite a bit about the Ruach in man. The same chapter, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? It's a man whom the Ruach of Elohim is in. Now see, they knew and understood that there is another spirit out there that can be connected to a human being. And of course, he was referring to one particular spirit, that is Elohim, or the Ruach of Elohim, within whom? Who was it?
Joseph.
See, Joseph had within him not only his spirit, he had the spirit of Yahweh in him. Pharaoh knew that. He understood that. So he wanted to find out, can anybody explain this stuff? All one can is Elohim. Is there any man out there that has a Ruach of Elohim in him? Now don't get that confused with the Holy Spirit. Different issue. We're not there. Genesis 20:45. Oh, we don't have to go there. This basically says for chapter 45, verse 27-28, and talk to Joseph. Remember that Jacob, brother? Remember that Jacob thought that Joseph was dead? All right. And they told him, that is the brothers, all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them, and he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent and to carry him, and the Ruach of Jacob, their father, revived. Kind of like a spirit just shot up. His enjoyment, he had hope for the first time. Now I want to go see my son before I am dead. Okay, I want to go on to another area. Numbers, chapter 5, 14 and 15. Now, I want to go here is because, put it this way. Our spirit that God made when he created mankind and created the spirit of mankind in mankind, that spirit can become evil. That spirit can become resentful. That spirit can become out of control. All right? Now, some people say, well, he has a spirit of anger. Well, his spirit has become angry. It's still the responsibility within the human being for his anger. Or he has a spirit, we're talking about this one here, of jealousy. That's within your spirit that God created you with can become jealous. All right? And when it becomes jealous, enviness shows up. Resentment shows up. Doubt shows up. Accusations show up. Accusing shows up abundantly. Now let's go here. Numbers 5. We all know this one because we went through it before, 14 and 15. And the Ruach of jealousy came upon him, and he, being jealous of his wife, and she being defiled. Or if the Ruach of jealousy come upon him, and he be zealous for his wife, jealous for his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering to her, and the tenth part of an ephod, and so on and so forth. So we see here what? How do you handle the spirit of jealousy? You go to the high priest. And the high priest is going to make it find out, because your eternal high priest is whom? He knows. So if the spirit of jealousy riles up inside of you, or spirit of anger riles up inside of you, or a spirit of enviness or greed, or any of the other cold spirits that people think that comes from the other side of the world, it isn't. It talk about human beings, and they can change their spirit to do that which is contrary. Now, what did happen to Lucifer? What did he say? You were what? Perfect in the day until it was found in you. God didn't put into Lucifer the evil thoughts. He didn't put into Lucifer the desire to become number one. And the same kind of spirit that God has created inside of mankind, that same spirit can rise up and become haughty, lofty, and become out of control. Of course, so I told you about spirit of jealousy or the ruach. There's a ruach of jealousy. I want to go get a pretty good picture of ruach. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Genesis 6, chapter 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein the ruach of life from under heaven and everything that is earth. Now we think breath, breathing in and breathing out. It's not nephesh. But you understand what I'm saying? God is going to remove ruach. When ruach is removed, there is nothing there. It all gets destroyed, right? So when you think about your breathing in and your breathing out, it's outside. I mean, it is a symbolism or a representation of the ruach. That's why it could be translated as wind, why it could be translated as breath. It could be translated in many cases by life, but it's not the right word for life. But you understand that now we're talking about Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. What does it say there? The Ruach of Elohim. So we get a big picture now of what Ruach is all about. It helps us to, when we see or understand the various points in Scripture where this Ruach is used, has to do with smelling, has to do with breathing, it has to do with wind, it has to do with spirit of Elohim himself, the Ruach of Elohim. It's more than just a thing, isn't it? We were created with Ruach in us. And the only way our Ruach can remain is when the Ruach of Elohim is connected to it. That's why mankind desperately searches for, and God says, he put it, I think it's in Psalms, and some remember what it is, I have created inside a man the desire to live forever. That living forever is the spirit that you were created with in the very beginning. Not the flesh and the blood, but the spirit that you, the ruach that you were formed with. Okay. Yes.
He's put that desire in us, but what happens when people kill themselves? That fear has gone bad in them.
You almost have to find out from that purpose. I couldn't give you a straight answer in all those cases. Most people who kill themselves either are ashamed of what their spirit is all about. They won't use those words, but the Ruach has done in their lives, or they have not let the Ruach in their life be connected with the Ruach of Elohim. And therefore, if you don't have the connection with the Ruach of Elohim, there is going to be hopelessness. So the spirit of man is in a state of hopelessness.
Yeah, they've lost their desire.
They lost the desire. Now, God is capable of resurrecting Ruach. in man if he is not yet dead. You know, God is capable of bringing back a person from dead. I don't have a doubt about that. And breathing the breath of life back into them. Breath of life. Okay. So now we have here Baruch Elohim, the Spirit of God. What was he doing? What's the next word? Neruch Hechvat. Hechvat. Moved. Ah, it's an interesting word. Kind of a nice word, too. Because sometimes when we get into this picture, remember the earth in verse 2 says it was covered with water? Now, the Spirit of Elohim, Ruach Elohim, moved upon the face of not the earth, but the face of the water. Just give me a minute to go back to my notes. Basically, it's a root word meaning to brood, to relax, to flutter. So here, the Ruach of Elohim was moving or fluttering. We'll get to that interesting word because it's a very fascinating word as we go into it. Because we use that word flutter, it doesn't sound right with God. But he's moving very, very gently over the body of the water. He's just hovering over it. He's not doing anything with it yet. He is just hovering over the water. What does water do? We'll get to that in a minute. Deuteronomy 32. This is cool. So we have not yet gone into explanation of the word wing yet. That will come in time. But it's a very fascinating wording here in Deuteronomy 32, starting in verse 9. For the Lord's, or Yahweh's, portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him in the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her fluttering, her movement, her gentleness over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them and bears them on her wings. Now we know that eagle doesn't really bear wings, right? I mean, don't bear anything on its wings. See, it's a Hebrew word for wing. When we get there, I'll explain what that word means. It's a very fascinating word. But it hovers. The basic thing for the wing means it hovers. And what is the hover? It hovers over. So the Spirit of God, or the Ruach of Elohim, was hovering over, like an eagle would fly over the face of the waters and protect it. Did you ever think about that before? The Spirit, Yahweh, Ruach, does something very interesting. Sometimes we think of all power and all might and all strength. Well, that's true, it is. But in this particular case, verse 2, he is like an eagle who is taking care of his young. Remember what Jesus said about Jerusalem? I would like to gather you like a hen gathers, hovering over, protecting. And it's kind of a fascinating way of looking at the thing when you're talking about what's going to hover over your life. Ruach of Elohim. It hovers over you. It protects you like it says there and will protect you from all harm and all evil, from all wickedness that comes upon you. That's what he wants and that's what it's all about. So we see the Spirit of Elohim, or the Ruach of Elohim, is hovering over like an eagle will hover over her young and protect it. They fly high to protect it. And the last word is what? Hamayim. Made the waters. What do you think of when you think of waters? Now remember, it was flowing, it was hovering over the waters. Now remember, in the water, there was no life. Life didn't come out of that water yet. That didn't happen until the fifth day. So it was hovering over the water. What does water do?
Cleanses.
It cleanses. What else does it do? What does water represent?
Life.
Life, okay. Water represents purification of that which was once not pure. We go through the whole process of being baptized, sticking, putting our heads into the water, our bodies into the water, for what reason? To be purified, to be cleansed. And so water has a process of purification. And so now the whole earth is completely covered with purification. When God covered, brought the whole water upon the face of the earth, it was to cleanse it, to purify it, bring it back into the state of holiness. Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago? When God created man, he created him for what reason? Righteousness and holiness. God didn't create us to be polluted. We became that way. God didn't make a mistake creating flesh and blood. God didn't make a mistake creating the atmosphere. God didn't make a mistake creating all the wonderful things we have. He said he was, what? Pleased. Thought it was very good, the things that he had made and what he has formed. Actually, it's called created and made. We won't get there today. So now we see now the purification of the earth is taking place. Now he's going to start doing something with the earth. And we should go rapidly through. I hope we'll try to go rapidly through day one and day two next week. Because I think it gives you the overall picture of what I'm trying to say. The earth was covered with water. It wasn't stormy. It wasn't a turmoil. He brought it over there and he hovered over the face of the water to purify the earth, to make it once again holy, to make it once again out of darkness. Now, darkness, we talk about darkness, and we talk about the first day coming up next week. We're going to talk about why and what he said. Pay attention to what he said. All right? Any more questions? My thoughts? My words aren't going to be very long today. A ruach. We all have a ruach, right? And we have a say-so in our ruach. And our ruach can be united with the ruach of Elohim, which he likes to smell. He likes to breathe. He likes the flowers. He likes the wonderful things he has created. And we ourselves should be very appreciative of the fair fact that he has granted us to unite with him. We should never take, if I can use that best word, never take the ruach of Elohim for granted. Always thank him that that is part of your world.